So Parshas Chayisara, Tav Shin Pei, and as we've done the last several weeks, we will give a high-level overview of the Parsha, really a transition between Parshas Vayera and Chayisara. Vayera is dealing with all these incredible one-time events that happen. The Akedas Yitzchak, obviously, the conclusion. Sodom being destroyed, amazing Hachnasas Orchim with Malachim that Avraham Avinu did. All these, you know, one Ishmael being kicked out of the house. They were like one-offs. You get into Chayisara, it's kind of like the routine life kind of events that happen. You have people who are nifter, burials, you have shiduchim. It's like the regular, more of what we can relate to in the lives that we live. So the Torah starts off, it goes ahead, obviously, and it's called Chayisara, it's the life of Sarah. It tells us Sarah is nifteris at the age of 127. And Avraham Avinu goes ahead and tries to identify a place to bury her. He wants to bury her in Chevron by Maror Samach Pelah, which is, at the time, it belonged to Ephron Achiti. Ephron offers it to him for free. Avraham tells him, no, I want to pay you for it. Ephron says, okay, 400. And he goes ahead, okay, fine. So he pays him 400, literally. It was like he overpaid for it, but you can't really overpay for land in Eretz Yisrael. But Avraham bought it for him, buried his wife, Sarah. And that's the beginning of the Parsha. And then it transitions into Avram's getting older. And he realizes his son Yitzchak needs a shidduch. It's time for him to worry about his son and get him married. So he sends Eliezer off. He makes Eliezer promise first that he's not going to choose a woman from Canaan, from where they're living in Eretz Yisrael, but that he's going to go back to the hometown. And back to Aram and find someone over there from someone that they more closely grew up with and related to. And he makes him take a shvua that he'll do that. Eliezer takes the shvua. He goes very quickly, and it's remarkable how quick it happens, actually, because Kasha is Yivugim Kis Yamsuf. This story is not that, it doesn't seem that difficult when you read the psukim. Eliezer makes a davens to Hashem. And he says, okay, if the girl goes ahead and she offers a drink and for my camels to drink, that's the sign. Simon, right away, first girl that's there, only girl we hear about really there. Great, goes into Besuel's house, Lavan's there, meets Lavan and Besuel, and after he met Rivka, and he tells Rivka, you know, and them that he's there to go ahead and find Yitzchak a shidduch. So they talk about how long, you know, when Rivka will go back. Rivka says, I'm ready to go back now. So Rivka goes back. They find Yitzchak in the field. She gets off the camel. They get married. And then the end of the Parsha really goes ahead and tells us a lot about Avram remarrying Keturah, Chazal say Hagar, and his descendants from Keturah and the children they had together. And the Parsha concludes with the death, the Petira, the soul of Avraham Avinu returning back to Shemayim. The story of Avraham and Sarah coming to a conclusion in this week's Parsha, really, that we've had for several weeks now. And it feels like we just started talking about it, and here we are this week finishing it, and every Parsha is so jam-packed. And then it concludes with, really, Yishmael, the Parsha ends with and talks about his progeny, his descendants, and that he also is Nifter at the end of the Parsha at the age of 137. So we're going to spend some time tonight really talking about Sarimena. We're going to analyze a couple of the Chazals that are really in Rashi from the Psukim that are pretty well known, and we'll go over them, and then different Pshatim, different ideas. And I really want to show you what I found was a lot of parallels between Sarah and Avram and the Mefarshim and how they live their lives, and what we can learn from the way that we should be living our lives. So if you look in source number one, first Pasuk in the sixth Parsha, Perakov Gimel Pasuk Aleph, Vayu chayei Sarah, meya shana ve'asim shana ve'sheva shanim, shnei chayei Sarah. And it was the life of Sarah, 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. These are the years that Sarah lived. So off the bat, it seems to be that there's a repetition in the Pasuk we need to discuss. Pasuk starts off, Vayu chayei Sarah. Sarah's lifetime, her years were 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. And then it concludes, these were the years of the life of Sarah. So these were the years of the life of Sarah at the end, but the Pasuk already told us, these are the years of the life of Sarah. Why does it have to say twice that these are the years of the life of Sarah in the same Pasuk with the number in the middle? That's one question that we'll start with. And if you look at Rashi on this Pasuk pretty famously says, L'kach nechtav shana b'chol klal uchlal. L'mar l'cha shekol echa nidrash la'atzmo, bas mea kevas esrim l'chit, ma bas esrim lo'chata, shere ena bas onshin, af bas mea b'lo chit, uvas esrim kevas sheva liyofi. So Rashi addresses, why does Chazal do? Why does the pasuk go ahead and say 100 years and 20 years and 7 years? Just say 127, like we would speak common language amongst ourselves. So it's teaching us that Sarah was, when she was 100, she was like 20 with sin, because a person who's 20 is cleansed of their sins, so it's like they're perfect, they don't sin at all. And when she was 20, she was like 7 in terms of her beauty. So the Torah is giving a comparison. Next, Rashi says, Shnei Chayei Sarah. What's that teaching us? So Rashi's maybe already picking up on this question. What's the repetition of Vayu Chayei Sarah and Shnei Chayei Sarah? So Rashi says, Kulan Shavin Latova. That all of her years were shavin, were equally good. All of her 127 years were equally good. What does that mean exactly? What does it mean that all of her 127 years were equally good? So if you look in source number 3, there's a Medrash in Brachos Rabbah, Nun Ches Aleph on this pasuk, and it tells us the follows. Quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, really. Perek Lamed Zayin pasuk Yidches. Yodea Hashem Yemei Simimim, V'nachalosim L'olam Tiyah. Pasuk says, and it's in source number 4 inside, that Hashem knows the days of the Tamimim. Here translated as innocent, but someone who's Tamim, somebody who's, you know, perfect in his ways. Hashem knows the days, meaning he knows when they're gonna go, how long they have to live. And their inheritance is gonna be forever. V'nachalosim L'olam Tiyah. Says the Medrash, darshaning this pasuk, K'shem Shehein Tamimim, just like these people, act in a way of wholesomeness, in a way of perfection. So too their years are also perfect. So what does that mean exactly? Their years are perfect. Any ideas? What does it mean for years to be perfect? It could say it means not to make a mistake, but you know, there's a whole discussion. Did the Avos, were they perfect? Did they make mistakes or not? The Ramban clearly holds that Avraham Avinu, at least on two occasions, did make mistakes, once in Mitzrayim. And so to say that they were perfect and never made a mistake, it's a whole discussion in and of itself. We're not going to talk about that tonight. What does it mean to have perfect years? So if you look in source 5, Rav Shimon Schwab, a great leader of the German Jews in Germany and then in America, in his Sefer Mayim Beis HaShoeva, quotes a beautiful idea. He says as follows at the end. He says, if you look in the second paragraph, the first paragraph he quotes the Medrash. So second paragraph, Beir Divrehem in source number 5, to explain this Chazal, Shebe'emes, Mishahayu Yimei Chayav Shivim Shana, Uvizvez Harbe Mizmano Al Hevle Ha'olam, Chutz Mima Shehefsid Harbe Zman Al Achila Vishasiya Uridifas Havalim, Shalol Hashem Shamayim. That in truth, if you think about it, you think about the life of a person in this world who lives 70 years, and he wastes a lot of his time, aside from the time that he needs to spend eating and drinking and sleeping and working and all the things that keep us busy, running from one thing to the next to take care of our needs. Nimtza shelo hayachai b'emes ela esrim o shloshim shana. In the end, if you calculate how long did that person really spend alive, awake, breathing, not doing these mundane chores of life that you need to do to live, he'd live 20 to 30 years. Right, it's the amount of time that he has to do ma'asim tovim that's free. Only 20 to 30 years, not a lot of time. If you think of a person who lives till 80, 90 and he only has 20 to 30 years, it's really not that much. Or maybe even less. A person's nifta earlier. They don't have that many years that are free time for them to do ma'asim tovim. Aval ha-tzadikim, but the tzadikim, and this is the key line, shekol ma'asim l'shem shemayim, all their actions are done for the sake of Hashem. Their days are considered perfect. Their days are complete. Because all the days of their lives are holy, and they're spent serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The explanation of Medrash, that Sarah lived 127 years, v'kulan hayu shnei chayei Sarah, that these were all the years of the life of Sarah, b'li yotze min haklal, without one exception, without even a second missing. Meaning the pasuk's telling us, v'ayu chayei Sarah, mei ha-shana v'esrim shana v'sheva shanim, these are the years of the life of Sarah, telling us she lived 127 years, it's a fact. That's how long she lived on this earth. What should you do with those years? They were shnei chayesara. They were shnei chaye. They were life. They were years of life. Years that were tamim. Just like she was a tamima, her years were also tamima. They were perfect in her ways, and she didn't waste a second. Sarah was so careful with how she spent her time in the world, and that's what the Torah is emphasizing. And I read a story in today's, actually it was a couple years ago, it was quoted also in Rabbi Biederman's pamphlet, that there was a person who once went to a cemetery, and he was looking on the cemetery, and it's a scary idea if you really think about it. On the cemetery it said, this person died at the age of 2. Next, Kever, this person, their name, Yitzchak ben Avram, he died age of 4. Going around the whole cemetery, the person lived the longest, the rabbi lived 10 years. This guy is walking around. It's like, what happened? Was there like a plague? Was there a disease that hit this community and everyone from there is buried here? So he goes to a chacham and he asks him, what's going on in this Beis HaKvaros? Why is everyone dying so young? He says, because the way that we mark the Kvaros here is we make a cheshbon. How much time did that person spend in their life in Avodas Hashem? How much time did that person spend in a life involved in Torah in mitzvos? And when you break it down, full 2 years of time, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that's maybe a lot of time for however quantity that person actually lived in years. So it's a scary concept when you think about it, because we think we live so long in the world, but the time flies by and we need to really maximize and utilize every second we have. And Sarah Imenu is our role model in that area. That's just to start off the night. Turning over onto source number 6. Rav Avram C. Kluger, in his Sefer Plus, Edosecha, he has a fascinating ha'ara that he makes about Sarah Imenu also. He quotes that, it's a little lengthy, but we'll start and we'll go through it. He says, Yesh l'tzayin nekuda shal nisayon shehaya l'Sarah Imenu b'leida Yishmael. We have to go ahead and understand the nisayon that Sarah Imenu had when Yishmael was born. Hashem promised Avram, you're going to have a son. You're going to have children. You're going to be good. Who's it going to come from? No one knew. It didn't say it's going to come from Sarah Imenu. Sarah didn't know that. Ulam adayin luhuftach lo shezeyeh misarah. It wasn't promised it's going to be Sarah's child. And immediately after Avram takes Hagar, what happens? Lebeso into his house. Chazal say, Hagar got pregnant first night. Sarah Imenu and Avram are married since Avram is 25 years old. A long time. No children. Hagar comes in. They get married. They conceive that night. Mamish, one night. What do you think's going through Sarah's head? The Kamahaya La Litztaka Zu Agmas Litzadekes Zu. Think about Sarah's Agmas Nefesh, Berosa es Hasiyata de Shmai Shahela Hagar. Of the Siyata de Shmai that she sees Hagar has, that Hagar gets pregnant in a second from Avraham. You know, I'm living with him years, decades and decades, nothing's happening. Shezem Mor Lichorash Iker Hazar Vabrach Sheftiach Kadosh Baruch Avraham Allah Bonim. That's it. I'm done. My legacy, it's not my legacy. It's Avram's legacy with Hagar. Not me. Imagine that nisayon that Sarah has to live with. Yet she used every second of her life, according to Chazal we just saw from Rav Schwab, from this Madrash. It was all used for Avodas Hashem, despite the nisayon she went through. We always talk about Avraham Avinu's nisayonos. Rav Kluger here is focusing on the nisayonos Sarah Imenu had also. Zelo mimena ela mihagar tzaras. Velo od ela shemalach Hashem shepigesh yeshagar v'derech bracha. The Malach also, that the Mitagar gives a similar bracha to what Avraham Avinu got, which also sort of can lead one to believe that the Zera of Avraham Avinu that's going to continue is going to come from Hagar. So he goes ahead and he just says, this Nisayan must have been so painful for her to see Hagar, not to know if she's going to be the one, Hagar's going to be the one. It looks like Hagar's going to be the one. It took her so many years of being married to Avraham Avinu to conceive, to have Yitzchak. And he says that it really just reflects on the kind of personality that Sarah has. That still, kulan shavan latoiva, all her years were for the good. And he explains beautifully at the end that we know this principle and this concept of maisa avos simen labanim. Right? It's famous from the Ramban, that which is usually translated and taught over, that whatever happened to the avos and the imahos is a simen, is also going to be something that will happen to their descendants. He says no. He concludes beautifully. He says, that that's not exactly what he says. It's much deeper than that. On a deeper level, myself a similar bond, it means that the koach that we have in life to overcome the nisyonos that we go through comes from the avos and imahos. Where do we get the koach to go ahead and overcome? Where do we get mesiras nefesh from? Where do we get the ability to deal with a challenge when we're faced with the sudden patira of someone, chas v'shalom, like Sar Yimeinu, after Avraham Avinu comes back from Akedas Yitzchak? It's from Avraham Avinu. That's what myself is about. Not that we're just going to go through similar events, but that the koach for us to overcome the nisyonos comes from the avos and imahos. It's instilled within us. It's ingrained within us from them. It's a beautiful idea from Rav Kluger. And if you look in source number 7, here's Rav Biederman inside. This is wild. I always love his one-liners. They're incredible. He says, the first word of the parsha, Vayu, can be read forwards and backwards. The Chida teaches, Vayu Chayei Sarah means that regardless of whether her life was going in the right direction or whether her life seemed to be going in a backwards direction, manner, she always viewed her life as being very good. Kulan Shavan Latova. Vav Yud Hey, Yud Vav. Backwards, Vav Yud Hey, Yud Vav. Forwards and back. It didn't matter which way Sarah's life is going, what Nisayin was thrown at her, she took it. She was able to handle it. Everything, Hakulan Shavan Latova, was all the same, was all good. All from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What a beautiful idea. And he writes here that of all the Imahos, Sar Yimeinu had several hard moments in her life. She suffered from Hagar, from Yishmael, taken by Paro, Avimelech. She was childless for the first 90 years of her life. If she wanted to look negatively at her life, she had every right to be, right? When somebody is sick, Rachman Alitzlan, and they want to be depressed, what are you going to say to the person? Don't be depressed. Life's good. No, it's not. I'm sick. I'm very sick. I have a serious illness. Sar Yimeinu had so many reasons to point the finger at Hashem and say, Hashem, my life stinks. It's going nowhere. I've got no future children. I've got nothing coming from. What am I going to do? But she didn't. She went ahead and felt that her life was good every single moment of her life. Kulan Shavan Latayv. A beautiful idea. And he said that Sarah was unique. He says that Sarah was unique among the Imahos. He quotes in the Klausenberger Rebbe. Rivka Yimeinu said, Katzdi b'chayim im nebi nois cheis. That she was disgusted with her life at a certain point. Rachel Yimeinu in Parshas Vayetze says, "Hava livanim v'imayin mesa anochi." She tells Yaakov, "Give me children, or else, it's a little, or I'm like dead. Doesn't matter." Leah cried. Ene Leah Rachel. Her eyes were mamish, like the Chazal say, where she was crying all the time. There was sadness. There were threats. There was desperation. There was depression. By Sar Yimeinu, though, we don't go ahead and see that. She lived for 127 years with simcha. She felt all her years were toiva, all her years were good. So that's just mamish, like, lesson for us in life. We have our nisyonos, we have our challenges, and it's we all do, each of us do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no one gets off scot-free. I'm only 31, and through my 31 years of life, you think, so, okay, this person has it a little better. Everybody's got their own stuff. Everyone's got their own package. Hashem wrapped it up for that, each person to... for them to grow from, for them to deal with, for them to fight with, and to overcome. And really, we need to learn from Sar Yimeinu to try to have a positive outlook on all of the challenges that we have. So if you look at source 8 on the next page, this is a piece from Haksav HaKabbalah, which was a sefer written by Rav Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, lived in the late 1700s or during the 1800s. And his sefer is fabulous. When you find like I'm sure every piece is meridic, but like when you find a piece that's like amazing, it like jumps out at you. It's like, whoa, that's an awesome pshat. So he likes to connect the pshat and drash a lot. He likes to take the pshat of the pasuk and make a drush out of it, and then show how the two are interlinked. He actually also, or I guess dealing with German gedolim tonight in the Jewish world, we had Rav Schwab, and now we have, he also was a Rav in Germany. He actually became a businessman at a certain point in his life for many years, I read, and then his business, there was like a recession, it wasn't doing well, so he was offered a job as a rabbi, and he became a rabbi and wrote the Sefer, and he has clearly a tremendous Talmid Chacham. So he actually addresses, in the first, he asks the question, Shnei Chayei Sarah, Hisaru ha-mefarshim al yasur ma'amar zeh achar shekvar hiktim vayu Chayei Sarah. He says, Mefarshim asks, why does it have to repeat Shnei Chayei Sarah at the end? Right? Why does it have to say Vayu Chayisar and Shnei Chayisar? So we saw one answer. And that answer from Rav Schwab, based on the Medrash, is that Sarah Yimeinu lived all 127 years that she was given as a fact of life, as years of life, that she lived them all to their fullest. She didn't waste a second. He is a different pshat. Goes a different mahalich. He says as follows, nearly, she had the end of Zeh, Maila Gadola v'nifla shal Sarimenu. V'zeh. He says, Maila Gadola, a great positive quality and attribute that Sarimenu had. This is it. Ha'adam lama laso al kol anivrayim mitzad herkavaso michoy meha'afar ha'nefesh ha'ruchani. Adam, a person, and this will connect to ideas we discussed in Parshas Bereishis, a person is above all of the creations of the world because of the combination that he has in him from the chaymer, the material of the afar, and the nefesh haruchani, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew in him a nefesh, a lo kamimah, a shtickle piece of the Ribbono Shel Olam in us, and a sham and a guf together. Yesh lo mala alei mitzad hanahagaso. He has a mile on everything, and depending on the way that he acts. Because everything else in the world that's physical only lives a physical life. And the beings above in the celestial world in Shemayim, the Malachim, the Seraphim, the Ifanim, whatever is going on upstairs that I don't understand and comprehend so well, or at all, they're only Ruchanim. They're just spiritual beings. Aval ha'adam yuad kolzman hayosu l'chaim l'chios chaim kfulim. But the person is able to go ahead, and Adam is able to go ahead all the time to live a two kinds of lives. Chayis gashmi, a double life. But a double life in a good way, not a bad way, not like I have two lives. One that I keep on a mask in certain places and take it off in other places. Chayis gashmi v'chayis ruchani. A life of gashmi, a life of physicality, and a life of ruchnias, a life of spirituality. Because, of course, a person needs to go ahead and take care of his bodily needs. He needs to take care of his eating, his drinking, his sleeping. And like going out to make earn a living. And all the things he has to do to take care of his needs in this world. So that's one aspect of what a person has to do in this world. He doesn't have a choice. They're necessary requirements to just live. The bare necessities to be alive. You have to eat, drink, sleep. Have money somehow to buy yourself, to support yourself, put a roof over your head. Gam, but he says also, but a person also has an obligation, Adam has an obligation, to go ahead and live a spiritual life, because of the nefesh, the neshama that's inside of him, of this very high nefesh that's inside of him. And he has to be involved in doing mitzvos, and learning Torah. And these two aspects, this dichotomy of man, the physical and the spiritual, need to always be intertwined and connected together and never be separated. Because when a person's involved in his physical needs, when he's eating and he's drinking, he's sleeping and he's going to work, he shouldn't be having kavana that I'm just doing this for olam hazeh purposes. I'm doing it because I love the food, it tastes so good. I'm doing this because I want to make money so I can buy a nice car and go on a nice vacation. He has to bring along with him a purpose that's a spiritual purpose as well, of chaye olam hazeh. And he goes ahead and he says, he continues on developing this idea. He says, it says, Klal HaDavar, if you skip down like six more lines, Ha'adam mitzad ma'alasu tzarech tamid lishkol b'moznei sichlo l'tzarev tachlis nafshi v'ruchani b'chol tashmishei artziim v'gufani. Person needs to constantly be thinking about, be weighing how to infuse the ruchnias together with the gashmias. How to make them jive, even though they're mamish opposites, they're polar opposites. But how to bring them together, how to make them happen. And he says at the end, Ki ha'osher hamiti l'adam, you want to know the true happiness, a happy person? He tells us how to be happy in life. Ha'osher hamiti, true happiness, is hubiyoso chai chaim kfulim. Chai ha'guf im chai nashi. It's when you're able to bridge the gap between the two. When you can live a life that's a tyradika life, but the gashmias is all there, l'shem shemayim also. You're involved in the gashmis of the world with the purpose of spirituality, with the purpose of something much loftier, much higher than just doing something physical. And he concludes at the end, and he says that this is what Sarah Imenu was all about. When it says Shnei Chayi Sarah, Ritzon Eloimar, three lines up from the bottom, Shelo Haisa Chiyusa Chiyus Gufi Levad, she didn't just live a physical life alone, Ava Haisa Mitzuraf Elav Gam Chiyus Harichani. Ulfi Zeh Mila Shnei Sham Lemisbar Hazuge. He says that she didn't just live a physical life, she also lived a spiritual life, and that's why the word Shnei is there, to tell us the two types of lives that she lived. What a beautiful pshat. Shnei Chayi Sarah isn't teaching us that Sarah Imenu, Avada, she lived every second. She didn't waste a second of her life. She spent her whole life, you know, with something purposeful and meaningful. But she also bridged the gap perfectly. She was able to make every single physical thing that she did in life spiritual. She was able to uplift everything physical, not to abstain from it, not to refrain from it, but to take it and infuse it with ruchnius. And that's what the Haksava Kabbalah says, is the repetition. Shnei Chayi Sarah, why does it have to tell us? There were two lives of Sarah. And she lived both lives 127 years. She lived the Ruchnius life and the Gashmius life. Shnei Chayi Sarah. The two types of lives of Sarah were both 127 years. That's what the Pasuk's emphasizing at the end. Beautiful idea, Meridik idea from the Haksava Kabbalah. And if you look in the Berma'im Chaim, source number 9, he quotes... He's a big Hasidisha Rebbe. He writes, "V'noda asher kol ma'aseh b'reishis." He says, why was the whole world created? Even more than you want to be happy in life. Why was the whole world created? And he actually says this in Parshas b'reishis. He says, "Lo nivra kim lahafeh ha'chomer l'tzura." The whole purpose of creation is to take the chomer, to take the materialistic, to take the physical, and to turn it into tzura. To turn it into tzura literally means shape. But to make it into something. V'lasos midvarim hamegushamim bechinas ruchnias. And to make from the physical things in the world ruchniastika things. Kasher yeh in yirtza Hashem la'asid she'ishapech kol agashmias l'ruchnias v'ruach atum yavar man aretz. As he says, that will be eventually mirtz Hashem, when the time comes in the future, that all the gashmias is going to turn into ruchnias. How that's going to happen, what that means exactly, I'm not quite sure. But our goal in this world, the way we have it right now, with in the way we live, is to go ahead and to make everything a spiritual experience. And to me, this is such an empowering idea. This idea, mamish, years ago, when I heard this concept, made me feel like, wow, I could do the same thing as somebody else. I could go to the bathroom, and that person's going to the bathroom. But I'm turning it into an avod. I'm coming out, I'm saying a bracha afterwards. That person went to the bathroom, he went on to his day. Fine, moved on, did his thing. I could go ahead and drink a cup of water because I'm thirsty, but also say a bracha before and a bracha afterwards. It's giving me chiyus. It's giving me more time to live, giving me more time to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single thing. I could take a nap if I'm tired during the day and I'm not feeling well. In order, to this week I have not been feeling well, in order that Mirtz Hashem, even though I missed work one or two days this week, Thursday night, I'll feel good and be able to come learn Torah together. What's my kavanah? That's what this is teaching us. What's a person's kavana? You could have two people doing the exact same action. I think I once heard of Maisa that people got up to Shemayim and there were two lines. And one guy gets up there and he's doing his cheshbon of all his mitzvahs and averus and whatever. And he says, okay, very good. This is tallied up. This is your number. Okay. Next guy comes up and he gets his tally. He says, hold on a second. I overheard the guy in front of me. He got a lot of points for washing his hands every morning. I wash my hands every morning also. You didn't comment about that. Person says the malach says back, whoever's doing the din b'cheshbon shemaim, why'd you wash your hands every morning? I was like, I woke up, they were dirty. I had to obviously clean my hands from sleeping all night. You know, I had to go, I was going to go out and see people and make sure I'm clean. Hygiene. I want to be hygienic. It's okay, well, that person washed his hands, l'shem shemaim, for the mitzvah of netilas yadayim. To go ahead and to daven, to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam with clean hands. So two people doing the exact same thing. One guy's getting schar every time he does, the other guy's just doing a totally physical mundane activity. Sarah Imenu teaches us, infuse all of the gashmias with ruchnis, shnei chayisar, have the two lives together. Moving on to the next page, to page number 4, we'll see an idea from Rav Soloveitchik. And this is an idea brought down in the new, the Chumash, the Mesoras HaRav, that came out, the New Earth edition. It's a beautiful idea. It's also lengthy, and you should, if you have time, read the whole thing. We're not going to read the whole thing. But he also he discusses on Sarah on the first pasuk, what is what why is the pasuk says Vayuchei Sarah Mea Shana Ve'Esim Sheva Shana? Why does it say 100 years and 20 years and 7 years? We saw Rashi's pshat from the Medrash, but he has a different idea. Fascinating idea. If you look at the second paragraph, he says Shnei Chayi Sarah refers to the lives of Sarah. She was always 100 years, a 100-year adult, a 20-year-old woman, and a 7-year-old child. That's what Shnei Chayi Sarah means. And that's why it breaks it out into three separate Shanim, Shanim, Shanim. That she was 100 years, and 20 years, and 7 years, all at the same time. What in the world does that mean? How are you 100? You're not 120 and 7 at the same time. You're either one, the other, or the other. So he explains as follows. In the realm of chemical processes, there's no way to retain biological youth in a middle-aged person, nor can the pattern of the middle age be preserved in old age. In the realm of the unfolding of the spirit, however, it is possible to see youth and ripe old age, or even childhood and youth, as simultaneous experiences. The advance in years quite often displays spiritual restlessness and intensity, and the young are sometimes characterized by cautious wisdom and sober judgment. An older person may be wonderfully childlike, with a dreamer's naive and excitement. The idealism of youth quite often shines through the eyes of the gray beard. In fact, great people are sometimes great children. They are rich and multi-talented because of their age. They are beautiful because of their honesty and sincerity. Sarah was concurrently 7, 20, and 100 years old. She was simultaneously very old and very young, representing the aged, the adult, and the child. He says, Peter Pan, one of my favorites, was a boy who refused to grow up and assume responsibility. In contrast, Sarah, at 20, was mature and fully developed both intellectually and emotionally. She was energetic, bold, and daring. Yet the adult in Sarah did not destroy the child in her. In the deep recesses of her personality, no matter how developed, no matter how capable and brilliant, no matter how attractive and ingenious, always resided an innocent child. What does it mean? 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years. She was 120 and 7 all at the same time. When she turned 7 to 8, it's not like my 7's behind me and I'm a year older and I'm going to forget about 7. I'm going to bring 7 into 8. When she got to 20, that 7-year-old mindset, along with the 20-year-old mindset, were there together. And when she got to 100, she brought that 7 and that 20 into the 100. She didn't go ahead and leave her, you know, it's very hard. It's very hard to do that because when we grow up, we mature and, you know, we were just kids. At least I was not so long ago. Now I have kids and I'm like, I don't remember being a kid because you forget. But Sarah Imeinu had this ability to go ahead and take all the qualities of youth, bring them with her into her adolescence, into her 20s, and then into her old age as well, into her 100. And it's not like she was a 7-year-old when she was at 100, she was immature, chas v'shalom, but that when she was in a 100-year-old, she still had a 7-year-old, has a creative, a curious mind, a way of thinking, of a simplicity, of a naive, but at 100, you're sophisticated, you're deep, you're much more complex, complicated, you've gone through more life. She had all that perspective in one. That's what the Rav explains Shnei Chayi Sarah means, and it's broken up 100 years and 20 years and 70. A beautiful idea from Soloveitchik. A different pshat that I saw also was that when she was 20 and 7, when she was 20 and 100, she still had the emunah pshuta she had when she was 7. 7-year-old, you know, I have an 8-year-old daughter. You believe in Hashem? Of course I believe in Hashem. Ask her more than that, you know, the conversation's not going to go that far. But Sarah Imeinu had a munah pshuta. She did Torah mitzvos. Why? Because it's the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She followed in Avodas Hashem. She wanted to do it. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. It's not like she got older and started questioning, started going ahead and using the mind that develops to go to. She maybe had a deeper understanding, but not to push her away at all. She kept that simple and munah pshuta she had from a 7-year-old into 20, into 100 throughout her whole life till she was 127. Moving onto page number 5, source number 11, 12, and 13. So these pshatim here are incredible. What we saw, well, we'll first talk about Sarah a little more, and then we're going to kind of move to Avraham Avinu, because Avraham Avinu also, this is the end of Avraham Avinu eras as well, the end of the parsha. So the Tam Vadas, he has a beautiful idea. We'll say it outside. or Sternbach, Rav Moshe Sternbach says, "Vatama sar bekiris arba." And we know Rashi, if you look in the source one, Rashi tells us that what happened. So in source number two, Rashi says, "Lispul the sar of lifkosa v'nis mecha misa sar la'kidas Yitzchak." What's the connection between last week's parsha Kedas Yitzchak and the beginning of this week's parsha Basaras Neteres? L'vishai debesiras ha'kedas and his damin benal l'shchitas the kimat shelo nishchat parcha nishmasa. The Tsari Meina went ahead, and once she saw it, and someone came over to her and said that what was happening with Yitzchak, she couldn't handle it, and her neshama left her. Says the Tam Vadas, he doesn't understand. If she was such a tzaddik, as we've been saying the whole time, she died right away, she had a heart attack, what? She couldn't handle it, she was understood that my Yitzchak Avinu, my son that I've been waiting my whole life, just like Amar Avinu was too, is supposed to go ahead and be a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then she was such a tzaddikah, she should have gone ahead and she shouldn't have died. She shouldn't have collapsed. She shouldn't have been mesa from that. Avram Avinu took it okay. So says the Tam Vadas, he quotes in the Magid Meisharim, which is a sefer written by the Beis Yosef, that he has conversations with the Malach, actually. And when he had dreams, he would write them down the next day. He says that the Beis Yosef was promised that he's going to go ahead and die al Kiddush Hashem. But so if Yom Tama HaBeis Yosef, at the end of his days, the Beis Yosef asked, "I wasn't zochet to it. I didn't die al Kiddush Hashem." The Magid said to him, "You were zochet to a greater mitzvah than dying al Kiddush Hashem. What's that? The Hainu Lachios al Kiddush Hashem, that you lived a life of Kiddush Hashem." The V'misa Musa Nasho Pamachas, because when a person dies, it happens once. It's very difficult, but they give up their lives one time occurrence. A person has to live each and every day in and day out. Every second, he's going ahead and serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why was Sarah so bothered that her son isn't going to be Zocha? He's so young. He's 37. The Akedah, I think. He's not going to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu day in and day out the rest of his life. That hurt her. That bothered her. She needed her son not just die instantly and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a way of Mesiras Nefesh and to be die al Kiddush Hashem, but to live a life of Kiddush Hashem. Shizuma Drega Gvo Yaiser Melahakil Mizbech Limslor Nashim Mirot Tsar Parchanish Masa. Because of all that tzar, she is parchanish masa. There is a discussion, maybe next year we'll talk about it, if Mir Tishem or Zeicha have these shirim. As to what does that mean? Like, she wasn't ready to die, the Satan came and told her news and she died? Did she live all the years she was given? Did she not? So Pashtus, most Mepharshim I think understand that she was supposed to live 127 years, and then this is what took her neshama from the world. It's not that this caused her to die and earlier than she was supposed to die. Sarah was supposed to live 140 years, and she died 13 years early because the Satan came and gave her this news that she couldn't handle, and Parchish Masa. No, the Ribbono Shel Olam set it up, orchestrated it in a way that this is what's going to go ahead. But that's the idea of the Tam Vadas. She couldn't handle the news. Avraham Avinu could for some reason. She couldn't. Because she needed to know Yitzchak was going to live a life, al Kiddush Hashem, a greater level than dying al Kiddush Hashem, which is what she thought was happening to Yitzchak Avinu. Another idea I saw in Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz and Sichos Musar, he brings down the contrast between Avram and Yitzchak here, between Avram and Sarah, is that Avram Avinu, he had time to go ahead and let it sit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kach noa es bincha es yechidcha asher ahav. He went ahead and he had, it probably wasn't, it was not easy. It was a huge nisayon. But it was the news was broken to him by the Ribbono Shel Olam in stages, in a slower way. The Satan came to Sarah, your son's been, he's up in Har Moriah, he's being killed. What? Totally different way of the news being broken. So Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz explains that could be the difference. And I thought, I was just thinking, it's maybe a sod for us in our communication also, when we have to share something bad with someone, or it's something light or something heavy, how do we communicate it? Do we go ahead and then just say it, you know, it's like a dagger, like Sari Meinu, Chas V'Shalom, and Mamish can kill the person or hurt them tremendously, and it doesn't kill them physically, it can kill them emotionally in a different way? Or do we go ahead and do we speak it? Do we think about what we're going to say, how we're going to say it, how we're going to develop the thought and talk it out with them and really think through before we deliver something that's sad or negative or bad to somebody, the way that we're going to do that? If you look in source number 12, we have Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah is a wild pshat. We know the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos we discussed last week. Asar Nisyonos, Nisyonos, Avram, you know, Avram, you know, 10 Nisyonos. What they are, all the Mefarshim go to town, they discuss what are the 10 Nisyonos. Rabbeinu Yonah has an amazing pshat. Many Mefarshim say the last one, and they most likely build up from 1 to 10, 10 being the hardest, 1 being the lowest. Right, when you get in certain places, depending on the grading system, maybe 1's the best. 10 most likely is the hardest. Say that Akedas Yitzchak is the hardest. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, no, not Akedas Yitzchak. He says, Hasiri Kvura Sarah in source number 12, in his Peir Shemeshnais. The burial of Sarah. Why the burial of Sarah? So, if you think about it, Avram Avinu withstood Akedas Yitzchak. It was a major Nisayan, number 9, he says. Huge Nisayan. Take your son, sacrifice him, the son you've been waiting for, all the stiris involved we discussed last week. He loved him so much, the ava he had for Yitzchak, kibi Yitzchak karel chazara, the stira there that Yitzchak's going to be the zera. But he didn't question Hashem. He went ahead and he did everything Hashem told him to with Akedas Yitzchak. He passed the Nisayon, a champion. He's coming home. I'm coming home, finally. I did it. I'm done. Hashem tested me and I mamish did all Ratzon Hashem. And he gets the news, what happens? His wife's nistaris. He has to bury his wife and deal with Ephron Achiti, a scam artist. That's the greatest Nisayon. Avraham Avinu didn't go ahead when he came back and say, oh my God, Ribono Shel Olam, what happened? I did the Akedah, now my wife, she died because of it? She's not alive? How could it be? I didn't even get to say goodbye to her. I just did the Akedah. I come back and I hear the news, she's not alive, I need to figure out how to bury her and deal with the first, this Kvura and buy Maris Machpelah. He dealt with it. He didn't question. I'm sure he was sad. The Torah tells us, Lisboid, the Livkos, he went ahead, he hesped, a eulogy. It doesn't tell us exactly what the eulogy was. But he cried, but he didn't question the Ribbono Shel Olam. Even a greater Nisayon than the Akedah, according to Rabbeinu Yonah. He went ahead and took what the Ribbono Shel Olam gave him and didn't look back. He didn't regret the Akedah because of what it did to Sarah. And that's what the Eitzah Satorah in the next source says. He says, the Eitzah Satorah is like a Likut. He quotes, he said, the Pasuk says that Lefkoisa, the Beis, is small. So he quotes, why is it small? The Baal Turim quotes that the Tevas v'Lefkosa, sorry, it's the Kuf, not the Beis. The Kuf is Kitana, Lama, Shelo Bach Avram El Ma'at, Lefi Shezak Zerkena Haisa. Avram went ahead, he didn't cry a lot because she was old. That's why the kuf is small. You don't cry a lot when a tzaddikus dies, even when she's old. What's pshat exactly? What do you mean you don't cry a lot? Of course you cry a lot. A gadol hador, a gadola died. It's a sad thing. So he explains that the Yetzer Hara was really coming, the Nisayon was coming to challenge him, to test him. How is he going to react to the fact that Sarah is dead? What's he going to do? Is he going to go ahead and say, oh my God, I regret that Akedah. I can't believe I did that. It caused the death of my wife. No, he's not going to react that way. He's going to cry. He's going to try to use tachbulos, different tricks of himself. He's only going to cry a little bit. He's not going to overwhelm himself with crying, even though I'm sure he was very, very broken and sad. Because if he would, then he'd maybe go ahead and be so sad that he would start having thoughts and machshavos of, oh, I made a mistake with the Akedah, I regret it. So he had to use some tricks, and this was one of them. And he had different machshavos. He says, Shahari Zikena Haisa. She was old, okay, she was old. She was 100. She lived a long life. She had a good life. She was 127. I'm not going to get so sad about it, because the Yetzer Hara wanted him to get so sad about it. He wanted him to regret it. He wanted him to think, oh, you messed up with Akedah Yitzchak. That wasn't the Nisayon. You killed your wife. Look what you did. No. That's not pshat. We say in Maariv, we're going to dive in soon. We say, Haser Satan milfaneinu me'achareinu. That we should remove the Satan from before we do something, and from before and after. What does it mean, before and after? So before you do a mitzvah, the Satan shouldn't get in my way. I should be able to do a mitzvah. Or he shouldn't get in my way, and he shouldn't stop me from doing it. Me'achareinu is the regret. Haser Satan me'achareinu means to go ahead and she removed the satan from after doing mitzvah. I gave tzedakah. I gave too much tzedakah. I regret giving $100. I should have only given 50. I have less money now to spend. That's the satan. That's the satan here also. Satan coming afterwards. And just to conclude, we have Marv now. So we'll just conclude. It's amazing if you look at the rest of the sources, you see many of the ideas about Sarah Imenu by Avraham Avinu as well. That the pasuk says by Avraham Avinu, that Avram was zokin baba yamin, and Hashem berachas Avram bakol. That Avram Avinu was, you know, when it was he was getting older, it says that he was zokin baba yamin, and there's the Ber Moshe in source number 18 has the same idea, just like by Sarah, that Avram Avinu didn't waste a second of his life either. He lived till 175. Mamish spent all his years good. Baba Yamim means he took his days with him. He took his years, his earlier years, into his middle years, into his later years. Similar idea, Shnei Chaye Sarah, that the Rav Soloveitchik had as well, as Pshat, as to 127, and Shnei Chaye Sarah. Shkoyach, everyone should have a great Shabbos.